You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
And welcome to Ring Post Radio, the only podcast that misses the mute button. I'm your host, Ryan Knightsey. With me today is the man, the myth, the legend, Scotty Edwards. Scotty, how are you doing on this fine Tuesday night?
I am freezing cold. I am tired. It's the holiday season in full effect now. Last week, it was like the calm before the storm. Now we're there.
Didn't it snow last week?
Here it did.
Yeah, so well, last week it was the calm before the storm, and now it's worse.
Oh, no, it's just really cold now. Like,
I see,
it's so cold, it's awful. I'm freezing right
now.
How
cold is it? Pulls up the weather app.
we had a 6 degree the other
Ooh.
Day.
Oh, boy!
Right now it's 25 degrees. Feels like 7.
Oh, it's you're sweating out there. Feels like 7. My god, what the hell?
That's called wind chill, baby.
It is currently not good. It is currently 42 degrees here.
Yeah, I bet it is.
It's a bit nippy.
Nice.
It's a bit nippy.
Oh shush. Yeah, no, I'm freezing, but I'm happy to be here. Mm-hmm. I feel like I took a whole week off from recording from the last time we talked. Like, I did nothing.
Sure.
It was lovely. Loved every bit of it. But now I've recorded 3 times in 2 days. I feel like I'm the old me. Yeah. And boy, oh boy, I am running on fumes now that we're here. But that's okay, because I have to, because the end of the year means a lot of recordings.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just kind of gearing myself up and preparing myself to do it again for the first time in a long time. But hello, everyone. Thanks for the few that shared their Spotify raps with me, seeing that Ring Post Radio was their number one, and I said, why?
The only podcast that questions why are we your number one.
And I was like, are you okay? Are you mentally okay? Do you know what you're listening to? But no, it's really cool. It's really cool to see myself on anyone's Spotify wrapped, because mine just had Chaperone on it. So that was, you know, I did have 5 podcasts on my top 5 thing. Wrestling ones. I don't listen to wrestling podcasts.
There's only one wrestling podcast you listen to, and that's the one you record as you're doing it.
Yeah. So this is the only podcast I do anymore. That's kind of crazy, isn't it?
It is genuinely kind of crazy.
Because I used to do podcasts all the time. Now I just do this one and do YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
You're a YouTuber now. I'm a YouTuber.
Thank you, everybody, who listened to us on all of our platforms, of course, but Spotify, I guess, is
especially
where we got Spotify wrapped. I don't know if, I wonder if, I didn't check at all, but I wonder if.
Thanks, Ryan.
Apple Music, obviously. And I wonder if I log into the Apple Podcast Connect app, that'll show me like the whatever Apple's version of that is.
I'm gonna go log in. Apple Crisp.
Apple Crisp, yeah.
No. The Apple Crisp. Pie of the year.
Yes, exactly. Rice. But thank you, everybody, at least on Spotify, at the very least, obviously, for all of our listeners. We had top 10, top 5 listeners, top podcast for a bunch of listeners. I'm looking at the stats right now. 27% increase in listeners, 16% increase in followers. I guess that just means like people that like added that, and populates.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever pressed that button, so that's cool. Continue.
525% increase in new listeners, which is a fascinating.
That's pretty cool.
We're
popping, baby.
Top countries, the U.S. Shout out to all of our Americans. Australia, Portugal, not the man, South Africa, and the UK. So obviously we appreciate
that's really cool.
Those are all the big stats really cool. Coming out of the Spotify Wrapped. Yeah. Does Yeah. Does the podcast connect thing have anything? No, it does not look like
it. You know, it was funny. In the recording I was doing before this, someone said to me, Ring Post Radio must be fun. I was like, yeah, it's the only recording I do where I just ask Ryan, what am I doing right before it? And that's it.
We're like both locked into a degree of like, oh, yeah, we got this.
Yeah, like I'm mentally prepped to the point like I'm not going to really think too much about what I'm going to say. Once I get there, I'm ready.
So obviously my friend Andrew was on the show a couple weeks ago, about a month ago at this point. And he came with notes, and I like turned to him when he said that. And he's like, oh, you brought notes? Rookie.
I remember when I first forget the point of the show. Yeah. I remember when I first started like doing a podcast for wrestling. I don't remember what it was. I used to write notes all the time because I think I'd forget everything.
Same.
And then like I still forget things plenty, don't get me wrong.
Of course.
But I just said, like, I don't even remember. If I can't remember it, not worth it.
I think it's learning that, but I think it's also, like, you start watching wrestling a little bit, and with, like, the podcast content brain on, so a little bit of, like, oh, I now am trained when I watch wrestling to know what I'm looking for and what I'm trying to find. True.
What's gonna make people mad at me today?
Exactly, Rice. Mm-hmm. And today we got three topics for you. It might be a shorter show. Sky's got to get out of here to find an igloo to find warmth. So we'll go as quick as possible through here.
Oh, I also got to watch my movie of the day. I'm still shooting 100%. We'll get to that later. Let's talk about the wrestling.
7:30. We're gonna be done by like 8:45, and you still gotta watch a movie.
Yeah,
the movie is today.
I have not decided. I was hoping to decide by the end of the show. Okay.
I'll pull out the 1001 movies book.
That's not important right now. But let's talk about movies going to Netflix only.
Yes. Okay. So that's a great transition. Obviously, we'll talk about Saturday Night's Main Event, John Cena's retirement, and Ring of Honor Final Battle. But we got to start out with this turmoil that is happening in the film and television industry, of course, but does affect wrestling to a degree, and that is, of course, the acquisitions, the attempts of acquisitions, the hostile takeovers, attempted at hostile takeovers of this property that is known as Warner Brothers Discovery. It was long rumored. I think we've talked about it before on the show that there was some ideas. I think we talked about it at a time when it was like Paramount Skydance potentially merging, and how we were both like, oh yeah, AEW will be fine in that regard, but not necessarily great for the film industry. Well, then it became formally announced, what was the day, December 5th, that this is from Netflix.com. Can you believe it? Why is it from there? It's because Netflix was set to acquire Warner Brothers following the separation of Discovery Global for a total enterprise value of $8.82.7 billion, equity value of $72.7 billion. Okay, so basically, on December 5th, Netflix and Warner Brothers Discovery announced they've entered into a definitive agreement under which Netflix will acquire Warner Brothers, including its film and television studios, HBO Max, and HBO. Very important part of this. It talks about the value of the stock and everything else, but it does go on to say that the transaction is expected to close after the previously announced separation of Warner Brothers Discovery Global Networks division, Discovery Global, into a newly public traded company, which is now expected to be completed in Q3 of 2026. So just a quick pause. Warner Brothers Discovery announced, I feel like in June or something, that it was going to separate itself into, I think it was just like Warner Brothers and then Discovery Global. Warner Brothers was film.
Warner Brothers Discovery is going to separate into Warner Brothers Discovery.
Discovery. It's the film and television studios, HBO and HBO Max, and
the
then
stuff we give a shit about.
And then pretty much everyone gave it the archives, all the movies and everything. And the then Discovery Global being their like live sports division, TNT, TBS, the Discovery Channel, I assume Trudy TV, CNN as well, the news arm as well. Basically, it's kind of like the live stuff, or reality stuff, and then like the premiere quality stuff.
The big money stuff.
The big money in the sense that it's now approximately valued at $82.7 billion. is what Netflix.
Yeah, the other one's won.
The other one is another company is I guess has estimated how much the other part of it's worth. But so that looks like it's going to go, according to Netflix, they're going to continue with that brand split. And Warner Brothers Raw would be acquired by Netflix in this deal. Not going to happen to quarter three of 2026. Once that it fully splits, then Netflix acquires it. In the meantime, I guess they have a handshake deal, I guess, ultimately.
Kind of. Maybe. Hopefully. Probably not.
Maybe. I don't think there is any other big stuff about the press release. I mean, it goes on to talk about how this is.
I was going to say, there was big stuff of like people saying it just won't go through.
Well, put a pin in that one. It does go on to say, the press release goes on to say, like, combination will offer more choice. This is
actually a movie podcast.
Yeah, this is secretly a movie podcast.
Sprinkle of wrestling now.
More opportunities, more value. This is complementary strengths and assets, more choice and greater value for consumers. Yes, more choice by combining the properties. Combining things always means more choice. Stronger entertainment industry. Sure. More opportunities for the creative community, more value for shareholders. So obviously the immediate thought of all this is, on a film and TV perspective, oh boy, you know, you have Ted Sarandos, the CEO of Netflix, immediately being like, not immediately, but well known that he believes consumers are going away from a theatrical model of release. The only reason Netflix movies come out on the big screen is because it's required to get nominated for for awards like the Oscars. That's why you only see them pop up in movie theaters like at the end of the year, like Wake Up Dead Man. If go to your local theater, or I think Jay Kelly was in the local theaters. You know the deal.
I saw Jay Kelly yesterday,
and
I did not enjoy it.
I'm seeing a lack of response, and that's upsetting.
I hate George Clooney.
Fascinating.
Yeah, no, it was. Okay, it's like an incomplete film. Continue. That's not the point.
Okay, yeah. Well, we have to put a pin in that. We have to move on, sadly.
We have so many pins.
I'm covered. I'm like Charlie Kelly. Yeah, so Netflix acquired it. There's the immediate thought of, like, from our secret movie podcast, Scotty.
Yeah.
This is worrisome.
Hate it.
Extremely. Hate this news. Basically taking, like, someone... Realistically, Scotty, I think like Warner Brothers Discovery had a great slate of films this year for 2025. They did. And to then be like, and now all of it's on Netflix in 2 years, I guess.
They did such a good job that they delayed Mortal Kombat.
Jesus.
They're like, yeah, we made too much money. We're good.
We're going to hold. Superman, we know what's going to happen with this
too
one.
Too good.
And then obviously, in terms of a wrestling perspective, it's the immediate thing of, not Netflix owns the rights to air Monday Night Raw on Netflix. It also owns a little bit of that.
I sure do.
Monday Night Raw archive, the live stream that goes on Netflix, and then a selection of Raws throughout its history. A very confusing selection. I've talked about it before in the show. I believe at the time I looked at it, like, John Cena's debut on Raw wasn't even on there. So maybe it's changed.
It hasn't.
Obviously, and so that brings up concerns how that affects like AEW, who of course works with Warner Bros. Discovery. Seemingly, they won't be touched. They would be moving to TNT, TBS, and part of this separation with Discovery Global. Now, there is the streaming on HBO Max and pay-per-views on HBO Max. That's a little worrisome. There's also like the long-standing rumor that Warner Bros. Discovery has a percentage of AEW ownership. How much, you know, that's still kind of up in the air. It doesn't seem like it's too much, if it is of anything. But there are all concerns there in terms of wrestling. I'm not ultimately too worried about the wrestling part, Scotty, but just on the Netflix Warner Brothers Discovery stuff, how are you feeling?
Let me tell you, man, the first thing that came to my mind had nothing to do with wrestling.
Correct.
When I saw it.
Correct.
The second thing that came to my mind also had nothing to do with wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
It would probably be like the 15th thing that came to my mind. I was like, oh, yeah, wait a minute, AEW and Raw. How about that?
I probably ranted to my wife for an hour about why this deal sucks, and I never brought up wrestling to her.
Oh, I mean, it sucks ass. Mm-hmm. You know? Though one could argue with the other deal that's possible also sucks even more ass. So,
yeah. What should we bring that in to bring it?
Yeah, bring it in. It's a full conversation type thing.
Well, I want to bring up one part actually before we move up to that. Now that I think about it.
Go for it. This is your show.
And that is, it's our show, Scotty. But I want to bring up this part because it's the relevant part to the Netflix thing. Is that because there is this other entity out there that wants to get the whole pie. Netflix only wants to get...
They want the whole pie.
The whole world in their hands, if you will. Nice. Whereas Netflix just wants the prestige stuff, HBO, HBO Max, and the film and television arms. Respect it. I assume that includes studios like here in Atlanta or whatever.
Yeah.
Not getting the live sports and news arm stuff is fascinating to me. Not having seemingly an interest or maybe money. I don't know who has the interest or lack thereof of interest. But not going for that when they have made efforts into live sports with Monday Night Raw, with live entertainment like comedy specials, Jake Paul boxing, thank you. But Kill Tony comedy bullshit. The fact that they have made inroads here. Obviously, they don't have any of the big NFL, NBA, any of these sort of things. But they have made inroads, and the fact that they're not going for it to me is extremely interesting, especially Scotty, after this is now officially the second week where Monday Night Raw is not on the top 10 of Netflix as was reported earlier today on Tuesday. So do you have any thoughts on that aspect? Is there any sort of tea leaves we can grow from how Netflix views live sports, live entertainment rather?
Yeah, it probably comes more down to the sports contracts they don't have now. You know, they don't have the NBA contract anymore.
You're saying Warner Brothers?
Yeah. Had they still had that contract, I think there would be way more interest by Netflix in acquiring that, but they don't. They just have the NHL, which is not as popular as the NBAs and MLBs and NFLs of the world here in the States.
Still have value, obviously. I don't know.
It definitely has value. Guess what? A lot of money. but it's not going to be like gigantic switch for them. And now they already have contracts. So if they had a contract with the NFL, I don't think that would even tempt them as much either, because they have a deal with them now. They have a deal with MLB now. So part of me is they probably look at it as that's just extra stuff we have to deal with, while we can acquire all this IP and so much more by just buying this. Because for Netflix, owning all those things matters way more than having to deal with the extra, I think, that comes with this other company that is happening soon.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I definitely don't think it comes down to the wrestling companies. That probably has no effect on Netflix decision making when it comes to that side of things, though it might. You know, we're already paying this much for these certain live sports stuff. We don't need extra of these things that aren't gonna move the needle per se. You know, again, like I said, if it was more, maybe if it was a bigger NFL package or a bigger NBA package, that might move the needle. Let's do that. But that's just kind of the way I look at that.
Yeah, I was trying to look up specifically what TNT Sports has the rights to. And it's NHL, the French Open, a large collection of college sports stuff, which, you know, there is obviously value to all these sort of things. But it is very interesting to me that Netflix is not pursuing that. Whether obviously it could be, it's just not being offered or what have you, but to make the decision
good
to
spending
not...
this much billion, not that much billion.
Exactly. Hey, maybe that's the thing. Maybe Netflix, it is a thing of Netflix being we don't have that kind of cash.
Netflix gains way more from getting those IPs, considering the way they do their business, compared to the live stuff, I think.
Correct. If the deal goes through, obviously a lot of things to get there. I suspect it would be sort of a Netflix's modern stuff, HBO Max's. The prestige subscription service.
Yeah. I don't need to use it for instance, because we're about to talk about Paramount.
Yeah.
I was going to say imagine if Amazon, they want to get into the live sports stuff. So maybe they'd be more, Paramount's doing this literally right now. So you can just add the Paramount nastiness into this.
Well, yes. It was reported, I want to say yesterday. December 8th, that Paramount is planning, has mounted a quote-unquote hostile takeover bid for Warner Brothers Discovery. The whole pie, a brazen attempt to secure a Hollywood prize snatched away by Netflix last week. This is reported from the New York Times. Netflix announced an $83 billion deal. Yeah, I just went over that. Paramount said it would pay in a news release on Monday, Paramount went around the Warner Bros. Discovery board and straight to the shareholders with what is called a superior offer. Paramount said it would pay $30 per share in cash, valuing the entire company at around $108 billion. Of course, Netflix, like we said, for seemingly half of it, $83 billion. That Paramount, what is that? 108 minus 83. What are we saying that is? We're saying the Discovery Global part is 25 billion.
Checks out.
maybe a 2-for-1 deal a little bit. It said it was going, including debt is aspect to that. It said it was going to shareholders because the board of Warner Brothers Discovery is, quote, pursuing an inferior proposal, quote unquote, that would lead to a challenging regulatory approval process. Another pin they've got to throw on the board is that sentence, that end of the sentence there is a challenging regulatory approval process, because there are so many political ramifications regarding the president deciding basically which deal to go with, and who is also helping back Paramount on this offer is very important. But yeah, the Paramount is mounting a hostile takeover to get Warner Bros. Discovery, including the movie studios, HBO Max streaming, cable channels, including CNN, of course. Obviously, Paramount already owns CBS News. They want two major news outlets.
You ever watch Succession? Because boy, oh boy, you would be having a great time with all this stuff.
Pretty fucking crazy. In a statement, Warner Brothers Discovery said it had received the bid and would respond within 10 business days, advising shareholders not to take any immediate action. Still, it said the hostile bid had not brought about any immediate changes. The statement said, quote, the board is not modifying its recommendation with respect to the agreement with Netflix. So obviously, we'll sort of see how it goes there. But yeah, now we're fighting over Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah, I hate it here. I hate it here. It's like, which of the two evils do you prefer?
Yeah, exactly.
I almost missed the week-long discussion of like, oh, man, we're not going to have anything in the movies anymore, which was my number one fear.
Same.
Because, boy, oh, boy, watching Jay Kelly on my couch last night compared to watching, what did I see in theaters last? Wicked for Good, I guess.
Yeah.
Different experiences completely. I also love the movie theater. It's just not good, Ryan. it's just bad. I don't like, but the other part of this is like it's not a shock that Warner Brothers Discovery is being sold. We have known for a while now that this was a possibility.
Yeah.
There's
always sort just of like, plan.
It's just like, why can't someone else buy?
I mean, but legitimately, who else? You know, it's like
Amazon,
Disney. Is Amazon better? I mean, they don't do a lot of theatrical stuff. I feel like they do even less than Netflix.
Yeah, you probably. Well, that might be a good thing. Well, they don't do anything. That's my point. Maybe they just would embrace, oh, this is what you guys do. We'll just do that.
Yeah, maybe they start doing
Netflix
it.
Netflix
yeah.
specifically does. We are streaming.
Yeah.
Streaming.
There are quotes with Netflix CEO Ted Sarandos being like, the consumer metrics, I'm summarizing here. Basically, it's like the consumer metrics say that they don't want a theatrical experience.
Bullshit, by the way. I will fight that with every part of my being.
But also another part of this quote, Scotty, is like, so we're gonna have to just follow their lead on this. Yeah. And I'm sitting here like, follow their lead? You created the lead, brother. You fought against Blockbuster to bring DVDs and then started the streaming wars.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Maybe Tom Cruise. That's who needs to buy it. Tom Cruise is a big fan of going. You know, Tom Cruise has his own. You know, but he loves the movies, much like myself.
So I mean, even then, I don't think Tom Cruise has billions of dollars.
No, he doesn't. But he loves the movies, and that's
he loves the movies.
Here, I I'm fighting for the movies here, you know, like that's where I'm at. Mm-hmm. I don't like either side. The Paramount one's actually scary.
So we talked about the Netflix thing being the big issue, being the lack, what will assumingly be the lack of theatrical outside of award season. What is the downside, or I guess, is there any benefits to Netflix before we talk about Paramount? It's really in this moment extremely tough. Maybe the Paramount the benefits to Netflix compared to Paramount is like Netflix is more apolitical, whereas Paramount is getting like increasingly more conservative viewpoint.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a bonus. That's a plus.
Which one produces better movies?
I mean, you just
Paramount keep them in theaters. They do
Paramount. That's the thing. The bonuses to Paramount would keep them in theaters 100%. I mean, obviously some stuff will go to Paramount Plus, but we'll keep them in theaters. Mm-hmm.
I think the scary part about Paramount is they'd own the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, like that's just naturally the scarier thing. Like that becomes a massive, massive, here's your wrestling term, conglomeration.
Correct.
You know, and I think that's kind of just the scary part. But I think the other part of all this is they're going to get sold. Like,
yes. No matter what, it's going to someone.
Right. I mean, I have Netflix. Do you have Netflix?
I just canceled Netflix actually recently.
Nice. Good
I got access to Andrew's Plex account. So
I was hoping you told me that you subscribe to Paramount Plus. That would have been a really great 1-2 punch there.
I do. I do subscribe to Paramount Plus.
All right, you've answered my question. Which one do I prefer? Which one do you subscribe to, Ryan?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I'm trying to see, like, look up market share real quickly.
I'm just gonna do this with a selfish opinion. I just want the movies to stay. You know, like I love the movies. It's one of my favorite activities: is going to the movies, watching movies. I'm watching a movie every single day this month. I love movies. So that's my number one worry. I don't know about you, Ryan. I don't know how much I want to see Batman jumping into like the Stranger Things universe, but I don't personally. Yeah. You know, not that would happen because Stranger Things, and you get my point.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't love it. I don't like, and here's the biggest part I think of all of this, right? Is that a lot of people lose jobs when this happens, and that sucks.
Correct.
A lot less jobs in the film industry. Just a lot less creativity in the industry. A lot less new ideas, a lot less all these different things. So it's all bad. It's all stinks. And
yeah, combining all these into just, well, I guess it'll be two big conglomerations like Disney and Netflix. Like my big thing is like, look, this is what has happened here is
they're going to get bought by a bigger company no matter what.
Yeah. What I've been saying for a long time is like, look, the bubble, not a long time, but really this year is like the film industry bubble has burst. The boom that was spurned from from streamers, from like investment from like Silicon Valley and various places to like prop up these streamers, which forced a demand of content and funneling properties into these streamers, which ended up being not profitable to really anyone that went for it. The only two people I know off the top of my head that became profitable was Netflix, which was not profitable until a decade into their run. And then Warner Brothers and HBO Max, which was not profitable until David Zaslav came in and started slashing movies and TVs from their servers, which upset a lot of people, but obviously it slashed a crap ton of their expenses, so much so that they Max was able to become profitable not once again, but for the first time ever. The streaming, what I'm saying here is that streaming ultimately failed. That's why a lot of people say we're going back to like cable and like sort of like an a la carte cable service. Yeah. It's failing. And it's cost all these companies, all these industries to not have enough money and to start losing money constantly, not taking chances in movies anymore because they don't have the money to take chances. And now companies are getting swallowed up left, right, and center. I mean, Warner Brothers Discovery was literally, you know, Warner Brothers and Discovery merged together. And then it was Paramount and Skydance merged together. And now we're looking at Netflix, Warner Brothers Discovery, or Paramount, Skydance, Warner Brothers Discovery. You know, we're looking at some amalgamation of networks that is just going to be awful.
Yeah.
Just looking at market shares here in the film market share space, Warner Brothers, as of 2024, according to Statista.com, 13.4% of the market share in 2024. Paramount 10.2. So of course they will combine as a 23.6 roughly percent market share, which would supersede Disney and make them the biggest market share in the thing, assuming they have the same output of movies, obviously. According to Evoca.tv, as of 2025, Amazon Prime has 22% of the market share, with Netflix at 21, I believe it was. 21% market share. And then does it say Max? Max is then third. So obviously they're it doesn't say percentage here, but Max is third, Disney is fourth. So acquiring Max, basically, if you're Netflix, you become the absolute dominating powerhouse in the streaming space, as you kind of already are, but you're gonna not really are, actually, you're right behind Amazon Prime, in terms of the US. But you actually absolutely dominate the streaming space if you're Netflix. Paramount, you're at 9% of the audience. So whatever it is, whatever Max's percentage is, you'll probably supersede Netflix and Amazon Prime and become the number one, but you will undoubtedly become, assuming you have the same output, the number one in the market share for film, whereas Netflix obviously is not. And that's just film and streamers. That's not counting TV in any capacity as well. So yeah, what I'm saying is it comes down to the regulatory process, Scotty, which of course, as we've seen the past year or so, that is basically going to be who can woo over the president and the FCC chair, ultimately the president, more. We have already seen headways into that. Obviously, there's some interest probably from Paramount having the juice. It's like being reported that part of the Paramount deal is being funded by Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner's deal with Saudi Arabia, which I believe is the same company that ended up buying EA this year. So there's some concerning stuff there. And then obviously on the Netflix side, you have the report of Ted Sarandos talking to Trump right before he making the purchase for Warner Brothers. So it's going to come down to, it's going to be a year long battle basically for these, for Warner Brothers. And it's going to come down to whoever woos Trump the most. Great.
I think Paramount wins.
You think that's what you're thinking?
Prediction. I think Paramount gets it.
Why do you say that? Do you think it's just the headways they've already had?
That and taking the whole shebang. I don't know. I feel like they get it.
Yeah, I hate that. I mean, I hate no matter what, but
well, going to the shareholders is a smart move.
Hey, hostile bids, baby. You're going to make a lot of money off of it if you're a shareholder.
Highly recommend Succession. It's far better than this mess. By the way, that's on HBO Max.
if you're a wrestling fan, is there any?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter, but is there any preference if you're a wrestling fan? What is the perspective of the wrestling fan? The AEW fan, I guess, really is the big question here.
You probably prefer Netflix.
You think?
You're not affected.
Yeah. Outside of the Max live streaming stuff,
right? But
because I think you'll have, I think they have another 2 years on that deal. I want
to
say,
yeah. I think a lot of people kind of expect them to land on Amazon eventually. I saw a lot of that this week.
Yeah,
you know, because they had that deal first, right? Mm-hmm. With them, I think you prefer the deal where you're just kind of not having to worry about any outside force outside of the HBO Max thing, which is a very minimal thing, admittedly, you know, when you really look at it full scope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think you're right. I think it is a matter of what affects AEW the least, and that is probably Netflix. Now,
either way, TKO's got to deal with one of them.
Yeah, I think going to, I mean, Paramount obviously doesn't necessarily affect you either, right? I mean, you're just now owned by a different thing. I mean, I don't think we know at this time who is going to take over Discovery Global, like what the plan is for that. You know, maybe it's Zaslav, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, going, it's at least people you probably have already continually going to work with, presumably bouncing off Discovery Global. So yeah, Paramount's gonna be a whole new thing. We have no idea how Paramount feels about wrestling. Do they even care about that? I don't feel like wrestling is on their mindset at all. I see a lot of people say the bigger thing is going after CNN, which is interesting. So yeah, it's fascinating. All this is weird. I think you're right that Netflix is probably the better, safer, easier bet. And just move on to Amazon. I think that certainly makes sense to me. I mean, ultimately, the worst thing for this for Amazon, or rather for AEW, and to a certain degree WWE, but less so, is just like it's more competition, television places to go when your deal has to be renewed.
Oh yeah.
Because once this deal goes through, it will go up before AEW's Dynamite television deals up.
I'll tell you what. I just realized this. If Netflix buys HBO Max, so they can't be on HBO Max anymore. I won't be able to watch anymore because that's how I watch. So that'd be a good run. It was a good run, guys.
Same.
So that would stink for us. Fight TV, welcome back. Oh, wait a minute. What am I hearing about their current funds? All right, welcome back. Shit. Yeah. Good run, guys.
Good luck. Good luck,
everybody. Maybe that is worse.
Everything goes on the Honor Club, maybe?
There you go.
Something. It's something.
Everything goes on Honor Club, including Ring of Honor Final Battle 2025.
Perfect. What a transition. I do think we're going to go to Cena first, but we can go to Final Battle if you like.
I mean, I was just trying to do the perfect transition. It wasn't necessarily transition.
We'll go to Final Battle. But just some comments in here. King of the North. Oh my God, is that Joshi Wrestling Twitter star Scotty Edwards? Huge fan.
I don't think that's true.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, from Eternal up here. Good afternoon, Eternal. He's preparing a $38 bid in cash. Of course, I assume that is total and not per stock per share. and of course, he says two last comments. You wrote a bunch of comments, all great comments, but the preference is piracy. And of course, Paramount is preparing a big bid for IWRG. I hear that pops me very big.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens with all of this. But obviously, this will be a story that happens throughout the next year. So stay tuned, everybody. All right. Ring of Honor Final Battle. Let's talk about the show. This happened out of Columbus, Ohio, on Saturday the 5th? So Scotty, overall thoughts, I mean, it's been a little bit ways, we'll go match by match, of course, but overall thoughts on this show, obviously on paper going in, it was like, yeah, it's a Ring of Honor show. There's not really much big stuff coming out of here, but what did you think after watching the whole show? How did you feel about it?
Kind of done with Ring of Honor.
Kind of done with the Ring of Honor.
I don't know. It just feels like it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I enjoyed the show. I mean,
this wasn't me calling it a bad show.
Yeah. I don't think it was in my top 10, but it was certainly like, yeah, I'm enjoying the show. This is some good stuff.
Yeah, here. It's weird. It's a really weird feeling I have every time I turn on Ring of Honor because it's like, does any of this matter?
Yeah.
Like that's a big thing I have when I watch it. I was like, oh, Athena won again. That's interesting.
I'm glad we'll talk about it. And obviously we'll talk about it more with the match. I think a big part of, admittedly, I think a big part of the AEW malaise, not sorry, the Ring of Honor malaise for me is that Athena is still the women's champion. Like that jump sharky moment that we've talked about on the show several times of her still winning the title, beating Billy Starks twice, is the thing of like, that's when it lost me, I think.
Yeah. She even with Billy Starks anymore? She wasn't in her corner.
Diamante was in her corner, but they did celebrate afterwards. And I think in the presser, Athena was upset with Billy Starks for losing the Pure title.
Okay, I was wondering that. I was like, did I miss a story beat here? Mm-hmm.
I think like the Bandido stuff has been great this year, obviously with Hetchicero.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just have such this like weird feeling watching Ring of Honor. I'm like, it's.
Yeah. No, I agree.
I missed 5 months of this product, and I didn't miss anything. You know, like that's the feeling every time I turn it on. They have good pay-per-views. You know, we've talked about that. You know, usually if you watch one, you don't walk away like, oh, that was a waste of time. It's just like, it's hard to fully care.
Yeah.
Is that the word I'm looking for?
You want something like, to happen, you know?
Yeah, like it kind of goes with the AEW graphic they posted this week, like 4 world champions from around the world. And I was like, all right. All right, let's consider these titles real quick. Ring of Honor, sure.
AEW,
CMLL, come again.
Yeah, I mean,
I was like, great world champion. Don't get me wrong.
Former world champion.
Don't.
Still upset. Scott is still licking his wounds.
It was a cool graphic, but it was also like the realization of like, we do count Ring of Honor as a different brand now, don't we? Like that was part of it. It's like I watched this show today. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I watched this show through today and I walked away like the Mercedes Red Velvet business was great business. I really like the angle we're doing with Mercedes, and I think this is what we should be doing, right? You and me have talked about this many times. Let's do something now. Yep. And it feels like we're going down that avenue. The match is really good.
Or at least we're setting up the tease for it, you know, like
I mean, she lost to Red Velvet. If that's not the start, then I don't know what is. Red Velvet.
She defended successfully against Layla Gray for the TBS title, Scotty. Of course.
Did that really happen?
I believe so. I believe it happened on Collision.
Okay. I did not expect that to be the follow up. Now I know why she beat Zeta Steel. Yeah, I think my whole thing like is when a show ends, I want to be like, okay, what's next? That never happens for me in Ring of Honor.
At least not in a while. Like,
no, because like Athena won again. I was like, all right. I don't care what's next. And I like Athena. I like Athena a lot. I really do. I love Persephone. I think she's awesome. She's gonna be a superstar.
There is some like what next stuff. I think it sets up with like Persephone in a way.
Sure.
Which I think has kind of always been the goal, but it really solidified, I think, probably to a certain degree here. But
yeah,
I mean, even Bandido winning, like I think Bandido's had a great year, and the Hedgesera matches were great, and he's had the Takeshita match was great. Like he's had a lot of great stuff. But in the match, in the six way match was pretty solidly fun. But it is the thing of like, okay, what's next? And obviously this match only existed because Roosh is injured. And I believe Tony Khan said that's the next match. And that gets me excited, Scotty.
That's true. That does get me excited. Though the next pay-per-view is until like May.
Yeah, I think so.
That's another part of this. Like that, when this show ended, I was like, oh, like what's the follow-up to this? I was like, Athena's champion till May.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone asked.
March.
They don't have it announced, I think, yet, but presumably May or March or whatever they're going to do. Someone asked Tony Khan this in the presser, and I thought it was a good question because it's something we've kind of talked about a little bit about how what it ultimately is as well is just a lack of momentum. And when there aren't like massive title changes on all these pay-per-views, the three of the year, it does feel like it just kind of goes on forever. Someone asked Tony Khan like if he's planning to do other pay-per-views for Ring of Honor, or at the very least kind of like other shows like the Anniversary Show or Glory by Honor or any of these other like named Ring of Honor events that he's done over the past several years. And Tony Khan was basically the classic thing of, I don't know, I'm gonna have to think about it, but I'm excited for our next show of Boxing Day Brawl as a thing, and we're planning to do more Global Wars events throughout the year. And it's like, all right, okay, go. So no, is what the answer is there.
So no.
And it is like, yeah, I mean, if you throw in like, at least give me one more pay-per-view.
Right.
Just give me something, more movement, you know. It's for a reason not happening.
It's just, it's just a place that belts happen to be, you know, like it's a place with a lot of history, so that's why it's still alive.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think he would have nuked it by now.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Real quickly, before we move on, before we start speaking about title belts, Eternal brought up a good point I forgot about, and I do want to get your thoughts because I know you have thoughts. Eternal says, Scott, unload the pitch about Lena Cross.
Oh yeah, she should crush Athena tomorrow. I'm like fully on board with that idea. I have pitched so many people to come in and beat Athena, okay? But at this point, Lena Cross reportedly signed. Mm-hmm. She should absolutely beat Athena, because who else is going to beat Athena? Do you want to see Billy Starks beat Athena? No. You don't care anymore. I know I don't. I cared like 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I also want Willow to win the title, by the way. And by the way, you know, speaking of the champions of the
Megan
world,
Bain. Sweet. Oh, Megan Bain is a great pick.
Yeah.
Tekla?
No. I did
a great pick within the AEW lore, I would say.
Well, I'm not bringing anyone down. I kept Lena Cross here for a reason. You know, she hasn't debuted yet.
Megan Bain is a lateral move.
With what she's doing, yeah. No, I had oh. So you saw, you know, the Champions of the World thing, then they did a women's one, and then Willow said, wow, they're all my biggest haters for real. Yeah, and I was like,
I just
sat there and stood there, and I was like, how does she never had any of these? I was like, how did we never get her to be Ring of Honor World Champion? It's just the biggest, like, mind-numbingly annoying thing that continuously gets reminded, like, yeah, she might win the tag belts tomorrow. Whoop-dee freaking do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, man, I don't know. I'm just annoyed.
Yeah.
You know what I'm not annoyed about? I like the Lena Cross idea. Eternal's correct. Lena Cross should come in, just dominate people, and run through Athena. Because at this point, what else would you do?
Yeah, I tend to agree. Speaking of belts, Ring of Honor Women's Pure Title Tournament was the final match was the opener of Final Battle. It was, of course, Deonna Purrazzo defeating Billy Starks, 13 minutes and 51 seconds. Pretty good match. You know, very, very technical, of course, as it is a pure title match. It's a style that fits Deonna perfectly and like a glove, so it fully makes sense for her to win this title. And what it does add, and, you know, Billy Starks does have over the top selling to a degree, but having her like struggle and scream when Deonna has her wrapped up, I think was pretty good action. So I thought this was like a pretty solid opener. I think it went like 3.5 on it, and makes sense for Deonna to have the title, and I'll see her lose the title in 5 years. So can't wait.
The only good thing like about another title is like it gets three women's matches on the shows. So that's great.
That's true.
I just don't like the pure title to begin with. So like that's tough. But I thought this match was good. Like you said, it was good. Yeah. Deonna, much like Lee Moriarty, kind of fits into the role of like, well, if we don't have something for you up here, let's give you something down here that you can thrive with.
Yeah.
So I had no problem with that. I don't think pure rules when I watch Billy Starks, though. So she was an interesting finalist, but she did a good job, like you said. Yeah, no problems with it. I'm happy this tournament, after like an 8-month announcement, is finally over.
Exactly.
It was announced in like March, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't remember exactly, but let me look it up.
You don't have to look it up. It's okay. If Eternal's still watching, Eternal will remind us.
Thank you, Eternal. We're just putting it on him. Moving on, 30-man Iron Man match. Lee Moriarty defeats Nigel McGuinness in 31:59. That's right. This is a 30-man Iron Man going past the length of time because it ended in a 4-4 draw. And both men, or rather Lee Moriarty, challenged, and I guess Nigel accepted to go into overtime for about 2 minutes, with Lee Moriarty getting the win over Nigel McGuinness.
Did you like the 7 pinfalls in like 2 seconds at the end?
I did, actually. I thought it was nice business, showcasing like tiredness. I like that a good long stretch of this match, maybe like the first 20 minutes, is Nigel behind by 2. I thought that was like a nice piece of business. There was like one point where Nigel like gets a pin and then like gets immediately another pin, and then Lee gets immediately another pin to tie it up,
and then it ends. Yeah,
and then it ends. I did like that. I did enjoy that bit. I really liked this match. I thought it was great. Obviously, I think there was good action. I think it was pretty well paced as well. And yeah, it's similar to what we said about Pure Title with Deanna, it fits like a glove of Lee Moriarty in these spots.
I think Lee Moriarty's so good, and I'm very tired of him just doing this. Mm-hmm. I feel like I said this so many times for Ring of Honor. This isn't a Ring of Honor thing. I just really have liked Lee Moriarty, and I feel like out of all the people in Ring of Honor, he continues to make the most of what's in front of him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good thing. I think Nigel sees that. That's why we had this match, right?
Yep.
Like, I'll put you over again, kid, type thing. And I think the creativity of the match, you know, is another credit to both of them. Like, it's hard to have a match that goes this long and to do so and be so creative while doing it, and yet they accomplished that. So that's kind of my main takeaway from it. I thought it was quite good. One of the better matches on the show. And yeah, like, Lee Moriarty to me is like a prime person. If you're not going to move him up to the main roster to do something, why doesn't he beat Bandido?
Yeah, I it is the sort of example, you know. I think like a good theme of Final Battle, like you sort of already said, is the what's next, like what's coming up. And
I know what's coming up for him. He's defending his commander.
That's true. Boxing brawl
day. Boxing Day Brawl or whatever.
Lee Moriarty should bounce up and beat Bandido. I do think that's a good idea because that allows Bandido room to grow on the main roster a little bit more. And it's the question of, is Lee ready for AEW proper? And it's like, maybe not. Like, I don't necessarily know how he'll do. I don't, like, what's the matches that could be exciting there. He is a guy that, like, I do think he could be a really great champion, like mid-card champion, like a Nigel McGuinness was, you know. Like, I think he could, Lee Moriarty would be like a perfect, like, national champion, you know, like Ricochet.
Right.
It's just a matter of, you know, slowly getting there.
I think Lee Moriarty is absolutely ready. It's just a matter of, do I think he would get lost in the shuffle?
Yeah.
You know?
I think he's too young and not enough. Because the big thing about Lee is building up charisma.
Yeah.
And
I like his promo when he wanted overtime.
Me too. I think he's done a good job of getting that charisma
He's only 30 years old, so it's like, there's still so much time. I think he's
almost excellent. There. He's almost
there. He's there to the point that here's how I felt about Lee for a long time. Like, there was a time Daniel Garcia was a little bit ahead of him, you know?
Yeah.
But I never thought they were so far apart that Lee should not be on TV, but Daniel Garcia should.
Yeah.
And now that we're seeing, it's almost like, in a way, Lee being in this role helped him way more than Garcia being in that role.
Yes.
You know?
Agreed.
Like, one,
I fully agreed.
Like, yeah, Garcia's in the Blackpool Combat Club, but who cares, right? Lee Moriarty is having matches that people go out of their way to see now.
Yep,
and
he's
beating legends. He's beating Nigel. He's beating Blue Panther. You know, like, he's beating legitimate guys.
Yeah,
and having this long title reign. That anytime the only bad thing for Lee Moriarty is, you know, kind of the conversation that's had of like, oh, well, how's his year been? He's like, well, he's on Ring of Honor, so like,
there's not much happening. He's having great matches, but there's not much happening.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that I love to see get sent to Japan.
Yeah,
you know, when AEW does that, I just think he's really good, and I think you're right of like, in terms of being a constant on AEW television, he's right there. Maybe another run with a different title in Ring of Honor is what gets him there. I'd love him to win the world title because I do think he's very good at the technical style.
Yep.
Unique. But yeah, that was a good match. Good match.
I was also looking up to see how much he's been in CMLL at all. No, the answer is no. He has not been in CMLL at all this year.
You have a good match. Put him and Shaywa had a good match. Remember that?
On one of the Dean shows, or what was that?
Was it the Dean show, or was it
Death Before Dishonor? Death Before Dishonor. You're right. That was a great match. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But the Dean shows he didn't go into CMLL this year, but he was on the Global Wars Mexico, so he did wrestle in Mexico City. But like, I think like if you're going to upgrade him up, him beating Bandito and him being like the guy that can be in CMLL a bunch and wrestle like people like Shewa, I think is a great pick. Looking at it right now, and I don't know if it's Lee Moriarty just has zero interest in it whatsoever. Lee Moriarty, according to Cage Match, has never wrestled in Japan his entire career.
Interesting.
So I don't know if he has interest in it or not, because surely
he's been signed for a long time now.
Yeah.
Like, he's been signed for probably, 4 years?
I don't know exactly when he got signed, but his first AEW matches pop up here in 2021. So I think he got signed in 2021.
No, he definitely has interest in Japan. This guy used to rep a Jamaica shirt.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, I'm kind of confused why he's never been in Japan. Maybe he just wants
to wrestle in Stardom, and he's like, well, if I can't wrestle there, I'm not wrestling.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, that's the Suri Proto show, is Suri versus Lee Moriarty. That's plausible.
I will say the thing about Lee is that him beating Bandito would work, because Bandito's doing the shoulder bit, right? Mm-hmm. And like,
oh, great call.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's a great.
Let's build to that, and you can get rid of the pure title. I mean,
you can combine them. Nigel or Brian? I think it was Brian that combined them.
Nigel, yeah, I don't know.
I don't quite remember. Eternal, get on that. Ring of Honor Women's. I apologize. Ring of Honor Women's World Television title match, of course, is a repeat from the Unification title match on Dynamite. We got it here, where we got the shock win of Red Velvet defeating Mercedes Moné. Yeah, it's a little weird to do the Unification and only to have the belt change the next time they wrestle on Ring of Honor. But it was a nice little shock. It was, I thought, the best match of the show. Great match.
I agree.
I think it went 4.25.
Red Velvet cooking again. God bless.
She cooking? She's in the kitchen. She cooking? And she cooked up a great match here.
Yeah, this was really good. This was my favorite Mercedes match in a minute, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which?
You like the Layla Gray one? Unique.
Didn't know it happened until you just told me.
So. Well, Cage Match had it like a 3.92, so don't worry about it.
Oh, jeez. No, this was really, really good. Like, not shocked, but like, I watched their first match, which was pretty solid, but I was like, okay, you know, whatever. So when it was announced again, I was like,
you're like, okay, sure.
All right, man. And then it was really good. Yeah. It was, like you said, I think the match of the show.
The first match almost got like any cobwebs or like any like chemistry issues out of the way a little bit.
I know Red was out for a long time too.
Yeah.
You know, so great. It's great. Loved it. Really enjoyed it. Mercedes, really good wrestler, fun fact. And Red Velvet, love to see it. So yeah, I have very little to say about this because it was just a success all around. And Mercedes telling the story of like, okay, that's another loss. You know, I like that.
Yeah, Mercedes, the unraveling train of Mercedes continues. Can't wait really starts, really.
The random Italian belt? Does she have an Italian belt?
I don't freaking know, man.
I just wanted to start saying, like, she's going to lose it to Gabagoo. And then
the Gabagoo Goo doll.
Crazy. Someone should have that name.
I don't freaking know.
Next match.
She's the APAC women's champion. She's a
body. There's no way they have every title on there.
She 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And she just lost 11. So they definitely are missing titles. Yeah. I think they also said something to the effect that like Mercedes has lost her first title was the call. And I'm like, damn, New Japan strong getting dunked on over here.
Well, they just really like to act like that never happened.
Of course. The one
slip that's a real curveball and all that.
The one slip up of Ian Riccaboni, I'm going to forego this pay-per-view. next up, La Facción Ingobernable.
I didn't watch the next two matches. I'm just
Sammy Guevara and the Beast Muertos defeat Adam Priest and Tommy Billington. This was a fine little piece of action. I think it went 3.25. I liked it. I enjoyed it, but it was, you know, it was pretty basic and pretty fine. It's Sammy Guevara and Beast Muertos. The crowd really likes Beast Muertos. The crowd really hates Sammy Guevara. They played into it. They had some funny bits with it. Sammy Guevara and Beast Mortos win the titles. So that means that Sammy Guevara is like the first person probably in wrestling history that has been has held the title for three consecutive championship reigns. Has held any title probably for three consecutive championship reigns. So an insane fact that Sammy Guevara now holds in Ring of Honor. Good for you, buddy.
Sammy Guevara.
Adam Priest, Tommy Billington to continue to be good wrestlers. Singles match, Eddie Kingston defeats Josh Woods. Again, a nice little match here. Eddie Kingston getting a little bit better. I went three flat here, so I saw like a little bit more of the Eddie Kingston of old, of pre-injury Scotty, which does give me hope for Dynamite on Wednesday in College Park, Georgia. I will be attending live. So it does give me hope that Eddie Kingston's going to be, you know, up to bat on Wednesday. So, you know, this was a nice little tune-up match.
I mean, if he had a three-star match with Josh Woods, anything's possible. Because Josh,
exactly right.
Never exactly mind. Right. I didn't know Josh Woods still wrestled here.
I also want to say that Josh Woods, it was a body part match. I want to say that Woods worked on...
It was a body part.
I want to say he worked on Eddie's shoulder is what I want to say. So that is obviously probably going to be the reason Eddie loses. But, you know, just, you know, one to think about. Put in the back of your head. Ring of Honor World 6-man tag team title match. The Shane team of Shane Taylor Promotions, Shane Taylor, Sean Dean, and Carly Bravo defeat Skyflight, Scorpio Sky, Darius, and Dante Martin. What do you think of this one, Scotty?
It was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was a nice little match. I like Shane Taylor.
We went over this last week. We like Shane Taylor Promotions. Sue us.
They have such great in-ring chemistry. Like they're
Moriarty's part of the group.
It's not for long. Probably there's a little splintering action there. Get Moses back. Get Moses back. Get O'Shea Edwards back.
Get Moses.
But yeah, I really like their in-ring chemistry as a team. Skyflight, I don't know. This still feels like they're still figuring it out.
Do you care about Top Flight?
No, I care about Dante Martin.
Why?
Which he had a moment in this match where he reminded the crowd why we all used to love Dante Martin.
Yeah, lost cause.
Yeah.
They should be in Ring of Honor, by the way.
Lumping them with Scorpio Sky is not good, in my opinion.
No, it's not. No, it is not, Ryan. It is not a good sign. Are they heels? What are they?
No, I think they're faces.
Why do they need to get Scorpio Sky's name in there?
It's for Skyflight.
Yeah, like that sounds so silly. Skyflight.
Well, what do you want it to be?
Is this the Christopher Daniels group, right?
Yes. Yeah. And Layla Gray. Keep forgetting Layla Gray. And Christopher Daniels. Yeah, God. Yeah. All right. We got to move on.
The big stuff.
AEW national title, Ricochet defeats Dalton Castle. This is actually, I think, my least favorite match of the show. It was a fine in the sense of like Ricochet was fine. It was a lot of Dalton Castle business. I did like the sheer amount of alligator rolls that Dalton Castle did, but I thought it was just like, this was like a fine, nice little match that, you know, just kind of showcases what Ricochet is going to be, maybe potentially as a guy that kind of leads the matches and let the other guy shine in their particular way of what they can particularly do. I mean, we do have another national title set up for Ricochet in RevPro. So that's sort of exciting, but it was a nice little spot. Ricochet gets booed by the crowd. I like this spot of Ricochet. He gets to travel the globe, get booed by the crowd no matter probably where he goes, and because him booing him is over, and then he just lets the other guy shine like Dalton Castle here. So, yeah, I thought it was a nice little match, if anything.
Yeah, I don't think my first pick would be for Dalton Castle.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Dalton Castle, how old is Dalton?
Could have taken someone from the Scramble.
What? Blake Christian?
Sure. That would have been better.
I feel like they did some matches. Maybe Commander.
That's Vanilla, baby. Yeah. That would have rocked.
Yeah, I agree. I think that would have been I think ultimately anyone you could have picked would have been a better match, but you know, it is Dalton Castle, 39-year-old gentleman who's had several injuries,
back surgeries.
Yeah, you get what you can get, and I think what you get from him is a fun act, I guess.
Sammy Guevara,
a fun gimmick.
Yeah,
it is what it is. Ring of Honor World Title Survival of the Fittest 6-way elimination match. Dalton
Castle is actually the epitome of Ring of Honor these days. It's like
a shallow former self.
Yeah, it's like, why are we here? Yeah. Like the poor guy doesn't need to keep going, but good for him. He's over in terms of like people like the act, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't need to see him wrestle.
Yeah, you're talking about Ring of Honor, right?
Yeah.
It's Ring of Honor World Title Survival of the Fittest 6-way elimination match. Not the best Bandido defense of the year, but that's fine, mostly because of how the match was structured. And that was a match where he defeated Blake Christian, Hechicero, Commander, Sammy Guevara, and Beast Mortos.
Who? Whatever the word
is. Nailed it.
Choreographed. There we go.
Yeah.
Way too choreographed.
There were too many moments. The story of the match is obviously Sammy Guevara and Beast Mortos are team partners. They're teaming up with Hechicero for this match. Blake Christian is like kind of a heel on the outs. And so it's a lot of Bandido versus Commander versus three guys. So a lot of that, a lot of choreographed stuff. It is what it is in modern wrestling to a degree.
But when it's this many people
and you feel it
just slightly off once or twice, it's like, oh. Like the Huracarana into the Spanish Fly one.
Yeah. But
that one got me. I was like,
yeah.
Because like Blake Christian was on the ground. And then they're like, oh, Spanish Fly.
Yeah. I'm starting to get to that point in modern wrestling. And I don't think it is the old curmudgeon thing. I think it's just the sort of like where it's the crest of like, flippy do high octane like action like that, and we're on like the falling action side of things where it is a point of like, well, now everyone does it to a certain degree. Even like Beast Mortos in the tag match did like a spinal tap at the end, you know. So like everyone can sort of do all the stuff to an nth degree, so it's a matter of who makes it look good. And there's a lot of people that, like, you know, there's a lot of people in here that can make it look great, but there's also a good amount of people that are still learning it.
To me, it's like, who makes it look authentic?
Exactly.
You know, it doesn't have to look picture perfect all the time. Maybe that's half the problem. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's either picture perfect or looks really bad. There's nothing that looks unique, you know?
Yeah. I think about that a lot sometimes. Speaking of where are we going from here, the style change, when will the style of wrestling change again, and what will it change into? And I do think it will change maybe into more of like a brawler style. That's my guess. I just don't know. I mean, Lucha obviously will always exist, but like, you know, will the general everyday like indie wrestler style change from like high flying action gif, you know, stuff that's gifable to just like, look at this video of a guy beating another man to a pulp.
Right. Yeah, we need more brawlers. Need more type of that. You know, I think there needs to be more difference amongst wrestlers that we don't have as much anymore.
Yeah,
we're getting really picky.
These are you know, nitpicks.
Not everyone can be Bandido.
Nicholas Pickles. Yeah, not everyone can be Bandido. Not everyone can be Hechicero, and Beast Mortos for that matter.
Right, but
not everyone can be Vanilla Baby.
For what it's worth, Blake Christian's really good at reminding me like how much I know. I get annoyed by the current style sometimes.
Blake Christian to me is like emblematic of that. I think he's obviously on the top tier of that, but he's still like
he hits a really cool like Fosbury flop thing, and then I'm like, oh yeah, that was pretty cool, and then he does the Huracan, and he's like, all right, we went too far.
All right, Blake, simmer down, right,
buddy. All right, Vanilla Baby.
Finally, the main event, Ring of Honor Women's World Title Match. Athena defeats Persephone. We kind of already talked about, like, okay, Athena wins. What's next? Same old for the past, like, 9 years.
Well, no, we actually said we don't really care what's next now. We don't.
I guess that's fair.
Persephone rocked. I thought she had the better performance.
Yeah, I think she had a good performance. Putting her in the main event here obviously says something about how AEW and Tony Khan view Persephone. And I think, you know,
I'm not gonna say it. They're gonna poach her. Oh, I had to say it.
100%. But they're not going to poacher yet, Scotty, because what I'm going to say here is...
You're going to pull a Vicaire? Oh, sorry.
They're setting up so that Persephone beats Mercedes for the CMLL women's title.
Yeah, no, that's cool with me.
Yeah, so I fully... Yeah, they'll poach her, if not now, eventually. But they, I think, have done a good job of building her up to a certain degree, especially with the audience, the AEW audience. Yeah. So to the point, it becomes a point of like, okay, now we're at the Mercedes fall. When is Persephone going to have the match where she defeats Mercedes for the CMLL
title? Yeah, she jumps off the page a lot to me because I think she's, you know, hungry and determined and still very new, but she's really good. So every time I watch her, I'm like, man, this is a prospect. You know, this is someone who's going to be big time. And she's becoming it very, very quickly.
24 years old, by the way.
Yeah, she's very young. I'm very excited for her. I like her beating Mercedes. I'll be really cool when that happens.
Can I give her one nitpick? Speaking of nitpicks, just too many NXT faces.
Calm down, that's fair.
Especially when you're going to face Mercedes. I mean, come on, calm down.
There are a lot. Well, the NXT face is just like a never-ending thing. Yeah. You know? But if that's the only nitpick, we're going to be okay.
Yeah. You're 24 years old. There's time to iron that out, you know?
Yeah. It's just not do them.
just do a quick reaction and then go into the next spot.
Right. Right. But she's the perfect mix of speed, power, intensity that I think like she's going to be a superstar.
I can agree. Yeah. Superstar? Triple A?
No.
There's always time to poach.
Take it back.
We get poached by somebody.
She's one of those that like you're cool if she has the split deal, you know.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, please.
Yeah, no, and she's someone that should have a split deal. Like just having the ability to wrestle in more places.
Yeah.
I mean, just doing this is good enough for her.
The first time I saw her was this year at the Wrestle Dynasty show on that random four-way. She was really good in that.
Yeah.
She's really good in that. She's only gotten better and better and better this year. She had a really good match in CMLL. Her and La Catalina had a good match.
She's only wrestled for about 6 years now. Started wrestling in 2020.
She's only 24, brother.
Yeah.
That's not how it goes. She started in 2020. That's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough. But yeah, no, she's great. And I'm happy she got the main event. Mm-hmm. I would have had her win, but
but alas, I didn't.
What do I know?
I didn't expect her to win.
I didn't either. Especially once it was the main event, I was like, "Oh, no way!" I was like, "There's no way they're giving her that win."
Oh yeah, 100%. Let's move on then to Saturday's main event, number 42. John Cena's.
I have a complaint.
Oh, go ahead.
I already have a complaint about Saturday. I have an entire complaint about John Cena's entire. A retirement booking. This is the time I'm going to talk about it.
Well, let me tee it up here. John Cena's final match this Saturday in DC. Will the president be there? I hope not. I pray not.
I hope not.
He's there hanging out with Netflix. Well, too bad. It's a Peacock thing. You watch it on Peacock, I guess. John Cena's final match, DC. We'll talk about the match itself and who he's wrestling and everything. But I think, Scotty, you're right. We should probably.
Dude.
I think we'll discuss more of the career of John Cena next week after the retirement. But I think we should maybe discuss a little bit of, we don't have a whole lot of time, but a little bit of the discussion of the year of 2025 and John Cena's career.
Yeah, Triple H sucks. Okay, like plain and simple. Let's get this out there right now. Triple H, the worst of all time.
We got to move on. He sucks. We all know this.
He's awful. But when John Cena says this week, it's true.
Sorry.
But when John Cena says this week, I wanted to do 200 dates, and they're like, nah, we're good. We can do 36. I was like, this company sucks ass.
Yeah, that was funny. That story of John Cena being like,
I want to do the whole thing.
I want to do 200 dates. I'm going to do house shows, and then coming in with like a deck plan of like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want for the merch.
Yeah.
This is all these sort of things. And they're like, no, 36 dates or whatever it was.
And it's like, this place sucks.
They've fully gotten rid of the model, and it doesn't seem like he necessarily likes it. I mean, no, even to the degree,
everything he does, he calls them out with a backhand remark.
He even goes so far to say, and look, I don't mean this in the complimentary way.
Comments this week. Don't get me wrong.
I don't mean this. He said a lot of shitty things, including what I'm about to say, but so much to be like, you should bring back Vince. Like, Vince still has something to offer. Like, I fully disagree with him, and you shouldn't bring back Vince. But he was like, let's bring back Vince. I don't like the current. Like, he's not saying the current creator is bad. He's just Vince should still be around, though.
There was something so backhanded about that.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, this guy that's running this shit stinks.
Yeah. 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 Like, and then he signs a like 5-year ambassador deal. Buddy, I can't wait for year 6. Talk to me in 2031.
But okay, so John Cena was my first ever favorite wrestler. He is the reason I have stuck through it all. Like, he got me here, right? So, like, very emotional that he's retiring, despite the stupid con. I've accepted the man for who he is, okay?
Yeah, flawed, but extremely flawed.
Absolutely.
But outside the ring, I guess.
But I will tell you right now, I am going to be emotional on Saturday. That is 100% fact. I will be emotional when John Cena has his final match. I am not going to hide that.
Yeah, when Gunther chops a hole into his sternum.
Dude, it's going to be awesome, okay? That's not... The problem is that John Cena fucking unloaded on how fucking bad this booking team is this week, and not enough people have said, John Cena said, Chris Van Vliet asked him, so like, what was going on with the heel turn? They're like, oh, well, they wanted something big for Chamber, and they're like, let's do this for Shock Valley. He's like, all right. And it's like, this company stinks. They just do it for moments. They don't do it for anything else.
All of his comments about all this heel turn stuff is always just like, well, I'm a company man and I just said yes. It's like,
yeah,
did you want to do it?
And then he's like, no, I want to do 200 dates of saying goodbye to everyone because I'm John Cena. That's what he essentially said. I want to do everything opposite from what they had me do.
Yeah.
But I just was like, okay.
Reading in between the lines is, I don't think John Cena is happy about this year and how it went.
He's not happy about it at all, but he just moves on because you know what?
Man.
After Saturday, that 100%. And after tomorrow, he's got a whole other career to go tend to. You know, like the other comments are like, I don't want to retire, but I am in pain. Yeah. It's like, yeah. And if you did 200 dates, buddy, yeah, would have been even more pain, but that's neither here nor there. No, but I was thinking about all this, and I was thinking about how Tanahashi has his retirement tour coming up, or not tour, show, match, whatever.
And then I thought about
Sting, and then I thought about Keiji Muto, and I was thinking about all these big retirements. Mm-hmm. I was like, how the fuck? full anger. How is John Cena objectively the biggest star of every person I just said wrestling his final match in Washington, D.C. in a rinky-dink normal arena on a show that is a glorified television show? Yeah. That is what's happening. This company is... The way they have handled John Cena, and I said at the top of the year, Ryan, I was like, they should be fine this year. They have John Cena's retirement to lean on.
Their business should not be down.
No, they should be skyrocketing because John Cena, everywhere he goes this year, everywhere he's gone this year, by the way, the last 2 weeks of Raw didn't have John Cena on them. Shocking that they've been down and out of the top 10. But everywhere he's gone, and everything he's done, people pay attention because John Cena.
I didn't think about that, but we do now. We know now. We've known that it's like, oh, this was his last Raw, and then people just stop tuning into Raw.
Yeah, they're like, oh, John's not coming back. All right, see ya.
We'll see you at Saturday Night's main event, I guess.
Like, I just got so angry today thinking about the fact that he is wrestling in the middle of Washington D.C. that has zero connection to anything in his career. His final match is in a venue where, hey, you know how WWE like does arena shows all the time for shows that shouldn't be arena shows? Why is John Cena's final match not in an arena or in a stadium?
Yeah.
It's just like all these little things of like...
Tanahashi will sell more tickets to his retirement show.
Already has.
Let me see if I can find a
WrestleTix. He's more than doubled it.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find a WrestleTix for Saturday Night's main event.
it's going to be like 14,000.
I think that's max, all the building
bits. Like it is infuriating. Like just from a fan perspective of John Cena, what they've done.
17,366 as of yesterday for his John Cena's final match.
17,000?
17,000. It'll probably cap up around there.
Tanahashi was over 42 like a month ago. But that's my point. This company is so numb in the head. They stink. John Cena couldn't have been more right when he was heel. You know what? You know why? He said, I'm going to kill professional wrestling. He's going to kill his professional wrestling, which is WWE, because once he's retired, there's no need to watch this company.
I think he might be right. I think
John Cena was the final breath. Once he's done, he booked a better show on Saturday than Triple H has booked all year.
I mean, do we know for certain that John Cena booked this, to be clear?
It was his idea, so that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
Triple H was like, let's do a whole tribute show. And Cena's like, no, let's not do a whole tribute show. Let's have the future face the present. Mm-hmm. And you look at the card, and I say to myself, was Triple H smart enough to book Cody Rhodes versus Obafemi? Not a chance in hell. No, no way. Was he smart enough to book Bayley versus Sol Ruka? Does he even know who Sol Ruka is?
He
doesn't know who Bayley is.
He doesn't know who Bayley is. I think he knows who Sol Ruka is. But
probably, but he doesn't like Bayley.
He does not care for Bayley.
I learned this week who booked that, and it was John Cena. You know why? Because John Cena went to the Bayley camp and spent the entire day there.
Yeah.
And then Leon Slater's on the damn show. There's no way Triple H booked that. I'm sorry. There's not a chance. And Javon Evans, who John Cena notably clearly likes.
Yeah.
He said his name before. Like, he may not have booked the show, but he had way more influence on this show than Triple H did. The only good thing I could say about this show is that I'm actually excited for it. Because after this,
who knows?
Matter. It doesn't matter. There's wrestlers I like in WWE, and we are a podcast. We have to cover it. We're going to cover at least the big shows, right? That's kind of what
we're go ahead.
Like, but like the next big show after this is the Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia, Ryan. Does that get you pumped?
I was looking at my calendar. I was like, I don't have the Royal Rumble. Let me see what the Royal Rumble is. I forgot it's Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, and then WrestleMania in 2 years, Saudi Arabia. So like,
I can't miss that WrestleMania.
I know John Cena is not perfect, and I'm not going to sit here and say he is, because
definitely not.
He's far from it.
After the comments he's made, all media it's been rough, baby.
They've been rough. But what I do know is that he was my childhood favorite. And what I do know is that on Saturday, I'm going to enjoy every bit of his final match, his final show, because at the heart, I am a fan. And when it's over, I'm going to be very upset. I'm not going to be lying to you. Like, I'm going to be very sad. It's going to be very emotional. Because for a lot of people who are going to be very emotional on January the 4th, and rightfully so for Tanahashi, and I'll be upset for that too, because Tanahashi is Tanahashi. And a lot of people that were upset for Sting, right? Well, this is mine. This is my version of that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that WWE had to be the company that gets it. But that's either here or there. So let's preview the show. I just had to do the rant because the fact that this is on Saturday night's main event and in Washington, D.C. and in a normal arena, all these things just are the ultimate cherry on top of the terribly booked year of John Cena. The easiest year to book of all time, by the way.
I agree.
We talked about a few weeks ago of how like Triple H is creatively bankrupt. Yeah. The John Cena booking has been the perfect showcase of bankrupt beyond belief.
Coming up with a Cena heel turn, finally, on a whim.
And don't get me wrong, did we praise the shock at the moment? Yeah.
Everyone did.
And Right. Because it was a great shock. It was a great moment. And then it was like, oh, let's just have John Cena play a guy he's not.
The more I'm doing a lot of, I finished my year of watching TNA from 2002 and I'm going through WCW now, yeah. Nitro. And I haven't reached Vince Russo at Nitro yet, but the more like I see like proper Vince Russo booking in practice, the more I'm like, yeah, there's not, obviously not in terms of like the actual story, like Triple H is not doing like gay hate. it's like a storyline, at least not that I know of. But it is like the beats are similar, just a lot of the beats are very similar, and it's annoying. It's annoying. It's dumb. Yeah, WWE doesn't have a pay-per-view again until the Royal Rumble. So practically it's a month and a half until the Royal Rumble away from WWE. So see how that goes. We kind of already went through the entire card. But yeah, it's you, like you said, Cody Rhodes versus Obafemi, non-title match. Bailey versus
Obafemi should win, by the way. Thanks.
Bailey versus Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka's winning that one 100%. 100%. Yeah. I can see Cody retaining, but Sol Ruka retaining.
It's
Cody
not winning that.
And Sol Ruka 100% winning and beating Bailey.
Yeah, you know why? Because Bailey's the only one that's willing to lose. Well, I mean, AJ Styles and Dragon Lee might be, but
yeah. And then the other match, obviously non-title, AJ Styles and Dragon Lee versus Javon Evans and Leon Slater. I guess I know what they're going to do with Leon Slater when they poach him.
I mean, we called poaching last week when we talked about TNA for an hour. So.
Mm-hmm. So, if anything, like I expect the Young Guns to win there, Sol Ruka to win there, and then probably Cody, probably still Cody to maintain.
Yeah, I'll be stupid, but I agree. Yeah, yeah.
So it is your world champion. You know, so I get it.
Cares.
And then, and then the opener of the main event, I don't really know. Probably.
I think they agreed on main event.
Okay. It should be the main event. And that is.
Yeah, so they sure should. People going to shut it off if it's not.
It should be the main event where they cut it off after the promo. I think maybe that's why, is the argument to no have it be the opener anymore. Is that so it doesn't cut off. It gives
there's no cut
ample
off
time.
It's not on TV anymore. There's no cutoff.
Oh, you're right. It's not on TV anymore. It is a dying brand of Saturday Night's Main Event shows. Anyways, the match itself, the final match is John Cena versus Gunther here on Peacock. Genuinely excited for this match. Gunther versus Goldberg was like pretty solid for a Goldberg that couldn't really move. You know, Gunther is a really great wrestler. Him coming back for this is phenomenal. Shout out to AJ Styles. And yeah, it's the sort of thing that like we talked about with the current version of Okada versus the current version of Tanahashi, right? Yeah. What we said about Okada versus like Nakamura is that match is more interesting because it can be built more around a heel beating down the ultimate not the underdog, but the ultimate babyface, right? Yeah. In Hiroshi Tanahashi. The exact same thing here. I'm not going to cry creative bankruptcy here in this case, because this is what should happen. You should have the all dominating, the guy that retired Goldberg early this year, beating the shit out of John Cena.
This is John Cena's career all in one match.
This John Cena needs to have his chest bleeding from chops. He needs to be like, oh my, like a Bryan Danielson-esque match for John Cena, where it's just like, holy crap, he's gonna go out on this, just gonna go out getting destroyed by Gunther, and then you know, hulking up the crowd and everything, like, everything you're gonna want. You know, we already did the going through the years upon years of opponents and stuff with AJ Styles. Let this just don't do a Randy Orton spot. Don't do a pedigree. Don't do Kurt Angle ankle lock. Don't leave all that stuff at home. Just make this the big bad heel versus the ultimate babyface. That's all you got to do.
You just got to make it
easily be 5 stars.
You just got to make it vintage John Cena.
Exactly right.
You got to be John Cena. That's all you have to do for this match to be phenomenal.
Yeah.
You've been John Cena your entire career, you know, like just do it one more time. I think this is gonna, if it even lives up to remotely half of what this can be,
yeah,
it's going to be one of my favorite matches of the year. Because again, it's the emotional effect. It's the fact that Gunther's really good. Fact that Gunther's, the story is, I'm going to make you do the one thing you said you never do. Give up. I'm sold. I'm eating out of the palm of your hands, Gunther.
Yep.
You just gotta go out there and do it now.
It's the exact same setup that we did with the I Quit match that earlier this year of Moxley and Darby. I'm gonna force you to quit against a guy who will never quit in Darby Allin.
And we all expect John to lose.
We all expect John to lose, obviously. But setting up the story as I'm gonna make you give up is immediately like,
huh?
Cena could win.
I think this match is going to be awesome. I think it's going to be a very fitting retirement match. I know a lot of people have been against the idea of Gunther. There's not a better option in this company than Gunther for this match.
Correct.
Because there just isn't. Like, this is going to get the best possible match out of this.
It's the perfect opponent for Johnson.
It is.
He's a guy who's a great wrestler, can obviously carry him to, not even, I mean, carry him, but you know what I mean, but like to a great match, can work and can get the crowd to boo him.
This is the closest I'm going to get to like the John Cena versus Umaga type day.
Sure. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Some of John Cena's best. John Cena was best against the guys that you're like, is he that good? And it's like, yeah, he was, because he just got his ass whooped and then went Superman and won. That's the best match.
In all my John Cena rewatching, when we have like what we know as John Cena, when he's past the prototypes, past the beginning stages, when he is John Cena, he is secretly a hardcore legend, because how often this guy would bleed buckets. I don't think we're going to get that here at all.
No.
But the idea that the chest thing
could play, you know?
He is really good at just getting the shit beaten out of him and finding the way to overcome. And that's what the story is. And that's what the match is. It's going to be a beautiful match. I expect it to be. I have high hopes. I have high expectations.
15, 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have enough time for him to say goodbye.
Mm-hmm. No other bits. Don't bring out Jericho. Don't bring anything else.
I did say one of my friends, I was like, you know, like, I'm pretty confident this is gonna hit. Like, there's no commercials to ruin it. But I was like, there is that little percentage of me that they roll out the wrong person and I'm gonna be pissed.
Triple H is gonna fuck it up somehow after the match, Triple H is gonna come out and hold Cena so he can get the shared pop.
Oh yeah, I'm already mentally preparing myself, by the way, for either the president, Triple H, or Vinnie Mac to be on the screen.
Oh yeah, Triple H feels like a 100% guaranteed lock.
Oh, Triple H is a guarantee.
Yeah, McMahon or Trump is not great.
I feel Trump more likely.
Does that suck more? I don't know.
I mean, he's not the one that's like barred from.
I want Pete Hegseth there so that he could be bored out of his skull. Because you know this guy, you know Pete Hegseth does not have the magic in his heart to believe in for wrestling. The guy can't even come up with war plans. He has to get AI to come up with war plans for him.
All I can ask is for the match to end before any buffoonery.
I pray to God.
Let me enjoy John Cena's final match, and then you could just do your bullshit that I know you're going to do.
Do it on Monday. Don't even do it post-match. Yeah. Just close the show. Don't let me see anything else. And then we all move on.
I will say, it would be very John to give up, and then the show just ends. Like, that'd be very...
He sits like he does at the Rock WrestleMania thing where he sits on the ramp, looks down, and takes the
reverse,
his shoes off.
The reverse Tam Nakano. I like the idea he was studying the tapes and like, I don't really need to say goodbye. I can just disappear and be like, John, you're in movies. You can't. Nah, I think I can.
He snaps his finger and he actually turns invisible.
Oh man, yeah, I'm gonna be emotional.
Yeah, it should be a great match. I highly expect it to be, and even if it's not a great match, I think it's gonna be one of those things that even if it's not a fully great like 5-star match, I think it's gonna be a 5-star moment. It should be. It writes itself. No reason to fuck this up. Fuck up the formula.
It should be the WWE match of the year.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Unquestionably, you know.
And the only person fighting that is Io Sky. Can you believe it, folks?
This should have been that Io Sky versus John Cena would have played.
You're right. 100%. 100%.
Would have played.
That's it for this week's episode of Ring Post Radio. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this week's episode. We're coming off a little bit shorter because Scotty has to get out of here to, like I said, shovel his house out of the snow. Next week, we will obviously be talking about the Cena retirement show, Saturday night's main event. I will be live in College Park, Georgia, watching AEW Dynamite Winter is Coming. So we'll review that show live
without me. I was like, what?
Yes, exactly. So we'll talk about that next week. Talk about that show next week as well. So we get a little live in-person review of that. And yeah, that's all exciting there. Scotty, give us some plugs. Give us your match of the week.
Yeah. Follow me over on youtube.com/@ScottEWrestling. Back making the videos. Lots going on in the world of Joshi now as we close out the year. This is when they get big time. Lots of big shows coming up and so on and so forth. So make sure you go over there and subscribe. I have a lot of videos planned over the next month. So please press that subscribe button. My match of the week was easily Saeeda versus Ami Sarray, because Ryan, Saeeda is going to Rhea Goku to challenge for the Wonder of Stardom Championship, because she was incredible in the match. She's incredible. She deserves it. I can't wait. It's one of those booking decisions that you just applaud, especially that they were willing to go with it. She probably won't win the title, but listen, the fact that she's in the title match, that's good enough for me. But that match was awesome and easily my match of the week. So, all right, I'm done. Bye-bye.
My plugs are tomorrow. There'll be another episode of The Ballot. What it basically is me kicking off the 2026 season, giving you a little primer, giving out, you know, just sort of like a brief overview of who the wrestlers will be talking about in the 2026 Hall of Fame season of the show, what we'll do with all of the returning people, and also the debut of the Ballot Hotline as well. You can call in, give your comments to the show, thoughts. If Scotty's on there talking about Tam Nakano and you fully disagree with him and want to yell at him, send those voicemails.
Please
in.
Don't yell at me.
So or give your praise, of course, to Scotty.
I do like that you're just like, you'll just if anyone's gonna yell at someone, they're gonna yell at me. Thanks.
Oh, I know Joshi fans. I'm gonna get hate because I said that. Match of the week. I caught up a little bit of Continental Classic, of course. Some shout out Darby Allin versus Kevin Knight. That match was really great. Good. There's a really extremely great moment in that match where they're on the outside and Darby runs onto one side. Kevin Knight jumps out of the way and does a moonsault off the barricade onto Darby. A perfect fluid movement of Kevin Knight, great air, and Darby selling the catch in such a perfect way where he doesn't go up and try to actively catch Kevin Knight, but instead he hits the barricade, turns at just the right moment, where Kevin Knight like lands on his shoulder and chest and he goes with him, which is like a perfect, like, you know, speaking of the reality of wrestling and everything that we talked about, not Booker T, but the reality of wrestling, Scotty, that we talked about a little bit with Ring of Honor talk, that idea of like the idea of selling, taking someone falling on top of you, is a great, small, tiny little detail that shows a great wrestler in Darby Allin. Plugs, like I said, The Ballot, we have another episode next week. Follow us on social medias if you dare. Give us a subscribe, review, like us, all that jazz for anywhere you find podcasts. Subscribe to the Count It YouTube channel. Listen to all the other shows on the Count It Wrestling Podcast Network. That's pretty much it. We got to get out of here. So we appreciate everybody watching this show. Scotty, and I'm going to say, I'm pulling up to a random thing. I'm going to say you have to watch the movie Fargo by Joel and Ethan Coen. That's my pitch from the book Fargo. It's probably, you can probably watch it somewhere. I don't know where. But
thanks.
Came out 1996, the year I was born. Thank you, everybody, for watching. That's also your homework, people. Watch Fargo. Anyways, have a good one, everybody. Goodbye. And until next time, we'll talk to you later. Goodbye, everybody.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumpy Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds and more. It's all covered on Jumpy Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumpy Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.